Good morning. Let's open this morning's service with hymn number 223 from the Hardbacked Hymnal. 223, Arise, My Soul, Arise. We sing this to a different tune that's written here if you read music. Let's all stand together. Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears, the bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. My name is written on his hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atoned for all my sin, and sprinkles now the throne of grace, and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die, nor let that ransomed sinner die. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God, and tells me I am born of God. My God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cry, and Father, Abba, Father, cry. Please be seated.
There's a line in that hymn that we just sang that says, Lord, don't let that ransomed sinner die. That's not possible. Not possible. All that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased with his precious blood will never die. And never die. Let's open our Bibles together to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. I actually made reference to this last Sunday very briefly, but I want us to look at it in more detail this morning. Gideon's fleece, Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse 36. Gideon's fleece. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer and ask his blessings. Our Heavenly Father, once again, in your merciful and loving providence, you have brought us here to this place. You promised to meet with us. You've given us your word. Lord, we ask for your Spirit. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that you would give us hope in Christ, and Lord, that you would show us how glorious his ransomed work is for sinners, and that we would rest all the hope of our salvation and the hope of our lives here in this world on thy dear Son. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament is full of types and shadows that were all fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The passage that we're about to look at this morning is no different. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, the scripture says, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who fulfilled the perfect will of God. He goes on to say, "He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second." Now, what that means is that the Lord Jesus Christ himself fulfilled these types and shadows. And so we don't go back to these Old Testament types and shadows and try to reenact them. We don't reenact the Sabbath day laws. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Sabbath day. He took away the first that he may establish the second. We don't try to reenact the Passover. I know there are some religious groups that go into great detail to try to reenact the Passover. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, and we look in faith to him. So in order to understand these Old Testament passages as they are fulfilled in Christ, the Lord has to give us eyes of faith to look to Christ. And I hope he'll do that this morning. I've heard so many people say, well, you know, you just need to put out your fleece in order to discern the will of God concerning an issue. That's minding the things of the flesh is what that's doing. That's looking for some physical evidence to discern the will of God. And that can only be discerned through the eyes of faith. It can only be discerned by the Spirit of God. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And that can only be accomplished if the Lord's pleased to give us faith and to give us his Spirit. Because left ourselves, we will put our trust and our hope in those things that we can see. The rest of that verse in Hebrews chapter 10 says, "By the which will he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all." So Christ truly is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The Lord gives us faith in Christ, then we will understand these Old Testament types and shadows as they are meant to point to him. We don't look for water to come out of a rock when we're thirsty. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is that rock that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness, and that rod was the rod of God's justice that fell on him when he hung as our substitute and our sin bearer on the cross of Calvary. All these types and shadows, we don't look for manna to fall from heaven when we're hungry. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he's the one who feeds our souls, and he's the one who provides us all that we need in this life and in the life to come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I hope that the Lord will give us some understanding this morning. We don't wear priestly robes. We don't build ornate temples. These are all Old Testament types and pictures which point to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't make blood sacrifices. The Lord Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all those blood sacrifices that were made throughout all the Old Testament. So why would we take this passage of Scripture and try to make something physical out of it? The Pharisees, you remember, came before the Lord and said, "Show us a sign." You see, when men talk about putting out their fleece, what they're looking for is some physical sign. How do we look for those things? You say, "Well, I don't do that." Well, do you look to the evidences of salvation in your life for your hope? We all do that. We are all tempted to do that, and we do it. The accuser of the brethren often has us looking away from Christ to our own lives to see whether or not we're really saved. That's putting out a fleece. That's looking for a sign or a wonder. It's not, you know, how about a feeling? Many think, well, you know, I've got to have a feeling before I can know for sure that I'm saved. That's another putting out of the fleece, isn't it? The Lord said unto those Pharisees and Sadducees, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign will be given unto it except for the sign of Jonah." Tom, you read from that this morning in the men's study. The sign of Jonah, who spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. What is that a picture of? The Lord Jesus Christ, who was cast off of the ship into the turbulent sea, who brought calm to the sea and was swallowed by the great fish, and 3 days and three nights spent in the belly of the earth, and then declared, "Salvation is of the Lord," and the fish vomited him up on dry ground. There's the sign. You see, the sign can only be seen through the eyes of faith. The sign is looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of these types and shadows. Furthermore, men are really not convinced by signs and wonders. They're really not. Not according to the Scriptures. The Lord said, "Woe unto you, Bethsaida! Woe unto you, Chorazin! For if the mighty works that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago." The Lord Jesus Christ went to Chorazin and he went to Bethsaida and he performed miraculous things. And they didn't believe. They were the ones who said, "Show us a sign." "For I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sire and Tidon than for you in the day of judgment," is what the Lord said to those Pharisees who were looking for a sign. We want something we can see with our physical eyes. Well, if the physical sight is all you have, then that's all you have to hang your hopes on, isn't it? But if God gives you eyes of faith, then you can look to Christ and rest the hope of your salvation in him. The natural man can't do that. I pray right now that each one of us are saying, "Lord, give me your spirit. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Lord, enable me to do that which is impossible for the natural man to do." You remember the rich man that went to hell? And he saw Abraham across this great gulf that was fixed between him. And he prayed for Lazarus to come down and put his finger on his tongue to cool his torment. And Abraham said, "There's a great gulf fixed between us. This is set. There's no turning back." And he said, "I have five brothers. I have five brothers. Go and warn them of this place of torment. What did Abraham say? They have the law and the prophets. And the rich man from hell said, but Lord, if one raised from the dead, then they would believe. And the Lord said, no, they won't. Though one raised from the dead, yea, yet they will not believe if they believe not Moses and the prophets. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. If God gives us faith, we will believe God. And we'll rest our hope in the promises that he's given for the salvation of his people in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a walk of faith. This religion, if I could call that, that we have is of the heart. It's of the heart. Men look at the outward appearances and they go about trying to impress one another and convince one another from the outward appearances. This faith that we have is a miracle of grace that works in the heart that can only come from God. We won't be convinced by signs and wonders if we don't believe God's word. Then no miracle will convince us. The other thing I would say about looking for a sign or a wonder or putting out your fleece is that this most often is nothing more than a self-fulfilling prophecy. In other words, you put out a fleece and you're going to get the answer that you're looking for. Isn't that what we do? We already decide what we really want to do, so we try to make something spiritual out of it and look for a sign. And sure enough, we find it. We find the sign that affirms what we already decided we wanted to do. Men are trying to discern the will of God by putting out fleeces. Turn with me to Romans. We looked at this passage Wednesday night. I want to just call your attention to it again. Romans chapter 12. And there's a brief article in your bulletin this morning that might help you to understand this passage as well. After the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, where the Lord declares most clearly and comprehensively the gospel of God's free grace in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I beseech you, therefore, in light of this, in light of who Christ is, in light of what he has done, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be looking for physical signs, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus, that you might prove. You see that in verse 2? That you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, some of us used to think in religion, well, you know, if I could just get myself in the right spiritual state of mind, then that I could walk in God's perfect will for my life. Versus his imperfect will, or versus his permissive will, or whatever. The word prove here means to inspect a thing in order to determine it to be genuine. What are we doing? We're inspecting the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking in faith to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to prove, to show the perfection of his walk and his obedience. And we know that, you know, we're gonna build things that God's gonna tear down. And we're gonna tear down things that are gonna have to be rebuilt. This idea that there's some sort of utopia, there's some sort of nirvana that a believer can achieve and live in a state of bliss in terms of the perfect will of God. (Laughs) whatever God has ordained for each of us is perfect. It's perfect. It's good. It's acceptable. In looking in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to this conclusion. God has us right where we're supposed to be. So, you see, this renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus is having faith in Christ. Having faith in Christ. And then you shall be able to approve or discern or determine it to be genuine what the Lord is doing and rest in his good providence, believing that he does nothing but good for his children. We don't look for miracles, we don't look for experiences, we don't look for physical evidences, we don't look for feelings. We look in faith to Christ. So how do I do that? Only by the power of God. The Spirit of God anointing the Word of God to the heart of God's people reveals the glory of Christ and enables us to believe on him, to rest in him, to trust him. First Corinthians chapter 1, the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to them that are being saved, Christ, the power of God. Christ is the power of God. And Christ Jesus is the wisdom of God. You still have your Bibles open to Judges, chapter 6. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Gideon requiring a sign is only evidence of his own unbelief. He just confessed, Lord, I know you said this. I know you said it, but I need a sign to prove that your word is reliable. See, faith doesn't do that. That's just unbelief that does that. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. Now, you remember when God first spoke to Gideon, he was threshing wheat behind the wine press. This word floor is the word threshing floor. So Gideon has gone back to the very place where God began to speak to him. And he said, I'm going to put this fleece of wool out on the threshing floor. What is that threshing floor significant of? Well, it's the pouring out of God's wrath on the Lord Jesus Christ, separating the wheat from the chaff. What is the fleece a picture of? Well, that's clear, isn't it? Adam, when he rebelled against God and caused the whole human race to fall into depravity and sin, tried to cover up his nakedness by sewing together fig leaves, didn't he? Isn't that what we do? We try to cover up our shame and our guilt with the works of our hands. Well, I can make up for that. I can do something about that. I can earn some favor with God. This is a shadow. This is a type. This whole putting out of the fleece is pointing believers to look to Christ. I will put out a fleece of wool. This is the Lamb without spot and without blemish. This is the one that John the Baptist spoke of when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And God clothed Adam with skins, the scripture says. The Bible's not explicit about what kind of skin it was, but you know it had to be a lamb skin. It's consistent throughout all scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ is that perfect Lamb of God. He's the Passover lamb. He's the one that the Lord told Moses, you take a lamb for a man. Each household is to have a lamb, 1 year old. You inspect him. Bring him into your home, inspect that lamb, and make sure there's nothing wrong with it. And then in 3 days, you're going to kill that lamb. And you're going to consume every bit of that lamb by fire. And then you're going to take the blood of that lamb and you're going to put it on the doorpost and the lintels of your home. And when the death angel comes through and I see the blood, then I will pass by you. The Lord Jesus is that Passover lamb. He's the one who shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross. God looks to his blood. What is faith? Faith is looking to the same thing that God's looking to. Faith is believing God. God said, when I see the blood, not when I see your signs, not when I see your feelings, not when I see the evidences of your salvation in your life, not when I see your commitment or your sincerity or even your faith. When I see the blood, I'll pass by you. Lord, enable me. See, we can't look at that blood right now. That blood was shed 2,000 years ago. It was taken and put on the mercy seat in heaven. The only way to see that blood now is through the eyes of faith. This idea of looking for a sign and putting out a fleece and insisting that God prove his word by something physical that we can see is just an evidence of unbelief, isn't it? Gideon said, I will take a fleece and I will put it on the floor. Look at, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast already said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Oh, to call God's word into question. Do you believe God? You just believe him, don't you? You believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe he's the successful, sovereign Savior of sinners. That he's the only hope that you have to stand in the presence of a holy God. To have him as your sin bearer and as your substitute. To have him stand in your stead as your surety before God. Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. Faith just say, amen, I believe that. I do believe that. You believe yourself to be a sinner? Do you have no merit or anything that you can offer God for a sure standing and hope of salvation? Nothing, nothing, nothing whatsoever. That in you dwelleth no good thing. That's faith. Say, well, I don't know if I feel the shame and the sorrow of my sin as I ought. No, you don't. And you can't. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that felt the shame and sorrow of sin as it ought to be felt. You see, believing that you're a sinner is not feeling the full burden of your sin. It's believing God. It's just believing God. God said you're a sinner, so that settles it. Oh, and the wet fleece. What is the water? It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ coming in this world as the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, laid on the ground of this earth at the threshing floor. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he was not sinful. He was tried in all ways that we are, yet without sin. Without sin. What did they say when they... Well, this is Joseph's son. He can't be the Messiah. He can't be the Son of God. And then the Lord asked them, why do you stone me? For the good works that I do? No. Not for the good works that you do, but because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. You're claiming to be God. Here's God incarnate. This is the fleece, the wet fleece that came into this world. Emmanuel, God with us. The sovereign, omnipotent, immutable, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and higher than the heavens, Son of God. And Gideon saying, Lord, show me a sign. Show me that this fleece is going to be wet with the dew from heaven. And what is the dew? Dew's mentioned many times in the scriptures. In Hosea chapter 14, verse 5, God says, I shall be a dew unto Israel. Now, what is it that causes dew? These little tiny droplets on the grass and the trees. That this invisible humidity that's in the air, when the temperature gets to a certain level, the dew point. We didn't have dew this morning. I checked it. The dew point this morning was 63 degrees. It was 67 or something in my house, so there's no dew. But when it gets to that cold point, it takes two things. It takes coldness and it takes darkness, doesn't it? Lord, I need you to be the dew from heaven. Lord, my heart is cold. And Lord, I can't see. I'm in the dark. If you don't come and be the dew for me. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Scripture says that the Lord Jesus rejoiced in his heart, but it never mentions him laughing. Why? Because he was holy, harmless, separate from sinners. This world was nothing but a constant conflict to him. You and I have become so accustomed to sin that we don't feel it. Like he never was jovial or laughed, or he suffered the contradiction of this world. God made flesh dwelling among us. I shall be as the dew unto Israel. This is the Spirit of God and the Word of God that anointed the Lord Jesus Christ when he came into this world. And this is the same Spirit of God and Word of God that anoints us. Now, he was anointed with the oil of gladness way above his fellows. He had the full anointing of the Spirit of God. But we get the anointing of the Spirit of God, which we're going to see in the rest of this type, this shadow, this picture of the spiritual reality that's fulfilled in Christ. Because after, let me read a couple more passages. In Michael chapter 5, verse 7, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord. So here's the church now that the Lord refers to as the dew from God, preaching the gospel, declaring hope in Christ, That's all we're here to do. That's it. That's our. This is a dry and thirsty land, isn't it? It's a desert. No man can live here. Not spiritually, apart from that dew that comes from heaven. The same dew that fell upon this fleece and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ to be completely successful. Listen to what the Lord says in Micah chapter 7. As the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. In other words, God's saying, when I send this dew from heaven, it's not waiting for you to do something in order to earn it. It tarrieth not for man. It's not waiting for, God doesn't wait for us to get ourselves in some spiritual state of repentance and faith in order for him to pour out that dew from heaven. He requires nothing. Exodus chapter 16, when the manna fell from heaven, the Bible says the dew was on the ground every morning. And when the dew went up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there was a small round thing. So again, we see the connection between the dew and the manna. The manna is Christ. He said, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. My Father, I am the bread of life, revealed in the Word of God. So we see this over and over again in the Bible. It's the Spirit of God married to the Word of God, speaking the truth of God to God's people. That's where faith comes. And anything else is walking by sight. Numbers chapter 11, verse 9, and when the dew fell upon the camp at night, the manna fell upon it. Dew and manna, again, the two things together. The dew is the anointing of the Spirit of God. The manna is the Word of God, all fulfilled in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 32 says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O ye earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew upon the tender herbs. When God speaks, you remember when Elijah went back to the law? He was looking for some physical evidence of God's blessings. He went back to Mount Horeb, and the Lord said to Elijah, he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he went out of the cave, and the rocks rent from the wind, and the Lord was not in it. And the rain fell, and the Lord was not in it. And the wind blew, and the Lord was not in it. And then there came a still small voice. There's the dew. There's the dew from heaven. It's the droplets of life that cannot be seen visibly in the air, but at the right temperature and the right darkness, it accumulates and gives life in a dry land. My speech shall drop as dew. You see, we look for a sign. We're looking for God to raise his voice and do something that we're like Gideon. I know you, Lord, you said this, but show me something more. Now I'm going to speak. When I speak, it's going to be in a still small voice. You're going to have to be still and know that I'm God. You're going to have to be quiet. You're going to have to come to me in the coldness and blackness of your heart and listen. Listen. And James said to be swift to hear and slow to speak. I was reading Daniel chapter 4 and chapter 5. I was looking up this word do in the Bible. And the number 5 is the number in the Bible for grace. And you remember Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up in pride? And he sought this great kingdom which I have built to my glory. And the Lord smote him with he made him a lunatic is what he did. He turned him into a beast. And 5 times in Daniel chapter 4 and Daniel chapter 5, the scripture says that Nebuchadnezzar's body was wet with the dew of the earth. 7 times passed over him. So for 7 years, he's crawling around eating grass, his fingernails are growing, his hair is growing, and he's being wet with the dew from heaven. And at the end of that perfect time of 7 years, his mind returned unto him. Why did it return unto him? Because God wasn't waiting for him to do anything. God was wetting him with the dew from heaven every night until God was prepared to restore him. And in response, the scripture says his understanding returned unto him, and he honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. He goes on to say that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will with the armies of heaven and all the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can stay his hand or say unto him, what doeth thou? Isn't that glorious? What made the difference? God was wetting his body for 7 years every night with the dew of heaven and brought him to that place of understanding. How dependent we are on that dew, which waiteth not for man. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you know, how moral you are, how religious you are, how hard you try, how sincere and committed you are. God's not waiting for us to do something in order for that dew to fall from heaven. What makes us fit for the dew to fall? To believe how unfit we are. Lord, I don't have anything to offer to merit that dew from heaven. Lord, have mercy upon me. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Left to ourselves, we will go from bad to worse. We will. Gideon put this fleece out on the threshing floor, and the scripture says the ground around it was dry. How dry, lifeless, and thirsty we are, and this world is in which we live. There's no life. Ezekiel, valley of dry bones. Son of man, can these bones live? What did the prophet say? Lord, thou knowest. Lord, if they're going to live, you're going to have to make them live. Lord, if I'm going to be wet with the dew of heaven, you're going to have to wet me with the dew of heaven. If I'm going to have life, you're going to have to give me life. Lord, if you're waiting on something for me to earn it or deserve it or be worthy of it, Lord, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. I'm completely dependent upon your mercy and your grace. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the second part of this type, this sign. Look what happens. Go back with me to our text. Verse 38, and it was so, for he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. What is that a picture of? You going to put out a fleece tonight? Wait for the dew and ring it? No. You going to look for a sign in your life? Or in your, no. Here's the sign. No sign shall be given unto this generation except for the sign of Jonah. Here it is. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ was wrung out by the hand of God on Calvary's cross. He poured out his soul unto death. God saw the travail of his soul, and God was satisfied. The agony of Christ on Calvary's cross. Yes, it was physical. It was physical. But, and we can relate a little. We've all experienced some sort of pain in our physical bodies, so we can relate somewhat as to what it would be like to have nails driven through our hands and feet and crown of thorns. And the physical things were awful. But we can never begin to enter into that cup that he drank from. Here again, it's just believing God. Father, if there be any way this cup can pass from me, let it be. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They can't understand how awful their sin is. The wringing out of this fleece is what the Lord Jesus Christ experienced when the Father poured out the full wrath of his fury on him on Calvary's cross to satisfy divine justice. Oh. And let me say this. I don't know how to say it. But often we think of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for his church and for his people, and rightly so, for he did. But we ought to think more about him dying for me. Many have laid down their lives for the masses, and we don't know who most of them are. But what if someone laid down their life personally for you? Just for you. I mean, physically. They put their life and sacrificed their life so that your life could be saved. Especially it being the sinless Son of God dying for such a worm like me. I just want to encourage you, brethren, to think more about Christ dying for you rather than just dying for the just dying. See, that's what I said. I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to say this, but you understand what I'm trying to say. Verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once more. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on the ground. The Lord Jesus Christ was put into the grave. He suffered hell and judgment and the wrath of God, that the dew from heaven might go out from the fleece to the dry ground. This is the shadow. This is the type. It was fulfilled in time 2,000 years ago. It was fulfilled in eternity in the covenant of grace. We have the Lord Jesus Christ right now sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And here's what God says: set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That takes the eyes of faith, doesn't it? Well, let's put out a fleece. No. The fleece has been put out. It's already been put out. Faith, walking by faith, is believing God, isn't it? Just believe in God. All right, let's take a break.